12:02. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 5 hour midnight ride. That's right, all the way till 5 a.m. and the warm up show. Me and you till then. We got Paulie on the other side messing with the volume. Here it is, up and down. There we go. It's rather loud. There's Fliegelman trying to understand what the hell Paul is doing back there. Nobody does. Mike, don't feel bad. And it's me and you at 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. You know, stop. Jeez. Would you stop putting it so loud? I can't hear. I'm not sure what the number is anymore. All right, 1203. And I'm pissed at Charlie Blackman. Charlie Blackman, I'm watching the Red Sox with the bases loaded. That's what kind of nut Yankee fan I am. I didn't think when the Yankees were the first team to 50 wins, I'd be sitting here on now July 23rd watching the Rockies and Red Sox in extra innings getting pissed off that Blackman's striking out with the bases loaded. But here we are. And we're right up against the next version, the last one of the season, obviously, of the Subway Series, Yankees and Mets. Two games tonight, tomorrow night. And both of them coming off of important series win, season-ending, series-ending victories. Paul Rosenberg's got me all messed up. As they split, both teams come off with important wins to split four-game sets for the first series of the All-Star break. And both of these teams right now, as you do get ready for this series, are in important stretches, right? Leading into the trade deadline. We've talked about it. We'll get to more of it here at 888-808-1019. But what I like about both of these wins, and particularly for the Yankees, but also for the Mets, is that, you know, every once in a while, both of these teams are going through, you know, different struggles. The Mets not playing nearly as bad as the Yankees have been, no doubt, but not nearly as good as they were about, you know, 2 weeks ago when they really made this really impressive run to get back into playoff contention. You know, they've lost the first two out of three to Miami. They lost the last game of the first half against Colorado. And the Yankees clearly just needing everything they can get to just get a split against an average, at best, Tampa Bay Rays team. But what happened in these two games is that you saw things you needed to see. You saw players who haven't been performing, and particularly for the Yankees, who we've talked about it. The trade deadline, as I spent yesterday talking about it, can't fix every single issue. It's not plausible. There's so much wrong with this lineup. There's so much wrong with this rotation. There are so many questions in the bullpen even still. As, you know, okay, maybe Hamilton's coming back, Efros is coming back, fine, okay. But there's still so many questions up and down this team and up and down this roster that it's impossible to solve it all. As much as I might still believe in Brian Cashman, I know many of you don't. I don't believe he's capable of transforming an entire team at the deadline, in a deadline where everybody is buying and we don't know who the hell is selling. So you got to look at these guys who need to come around, who need to perform if you want to do anything. And both of these wins, a 6-4 victory for the Mets where they held on for dear life at the end, or a convincing 9-1 victory for the New York Yankees, had a lot of signs you'd like to see. And for the Yankees, the question is, how do they follow it up? And these two games against the Mets are critical for both of these teams. But for the Yankees, we saw a win like this a couple weeks ago against Toronto, where they had that explosion of offense. It was the same night that Stroman got all mad and was screaming and was yelling at Gleyber Torres. And it was coming off the benching of Gleyber Torres, and he hits a home run, had a couple of hits. And the offense exploded, and you saw a couple of players do a bunch of different things that made you feel better. And you thought maybe, oof, this team is about to turn a corner. And instead, they went right back into the tank. And this is an important game yesterday, but it's only as important as the next two games against the Mets. And yes, I was impressed with Carlos Rodon. I don't think any Yankee fan who doesn't have faith in him, and to be told, I don't have faith in him. Yesterday was not enough for me to change my opinion on Carlos Rodon. It was an important start for him. It was an important game for the Yankees. You don't want to come out and lose 3 or 4 at home out of the All-Star break after winning 2 out of 3 against Baltimore. We all know how they ended that series against Baltimore before the All-Star break. But you don't want to come out after the All-Star break and come out in the first series at home, lose 3 out of 4 to the lousy, probably selling Tampa Bay Rays. This was an important start for him to start a second half, an important start for the team. And for the first time in what feels like, I don't know, 2 months, Carlos Rodon not only answered that question, not only came out and pitched well, but I would argue he might have pitched the best game he's pitched all year, whether it was 10 strikeouts, which was a season high, but it was just more of the location. He got more swings and misses on sliders than I ever remember. He got more strikeouts looking than I ever remember. He looked more confident. At-bats were done within three or four pitches. There weren't these long at-bats where he struggles to put guys away. The fastball wasn't getting nearly hit as hard as it's been hit over the last six starts. It was an impressive, important performance from Carlos Rodon, and you're hoping that it continues, but still not enough to answer. He's got to follow it up with his next start. I'm still not all of a sudden, oh, Carlos Rodon is fixed. Not by any means. And the same thing goes for a lot of the guys in the lineup who, sure, Volpe's had a nice series here against Tampa Bay. He comes through with the first game of the series with the double down the line. He hits his first home run since the beginning of May in this game yesterday. I think, you know, he had a nice set. I think he had seven hits in the series or whatever it was. He came through and had a nice series. You saw LeMahieu come through and actually hit the ball with authority. Forget everything else. Forget the strikeouts. Forget everything from LeMahieu. I'm just glad that he, I know it's only the first row at Yankee Stadium. I know it's not the short porch, but still, a first row home run, but finally a good swing that resulted in the ball being driven. We haven't seen that all year. Not all year. And I know that's not LeMahieu's game, and we don't necessarily need to rely on LeMahieu's power prowess. You're not looking for home runs necessarily out of LeMahieu. Same thing with Jeff McNeil, who's hit three home runs in this series. You're not looking for home runs. You're just looking for the idea, certainly from LeMahieu, that he still has some pop in his bat, that he could still put a good swing and put a charge into the baseball. We haven't seen it all year. Even at the brief moments where he's had a two-hit game or something, it's been typical DJ LeMahieu at bats where he's jammed and, you know, bloops one over the second baseman's head, or he takes an outside fastball and hits it through the first second base hole. Like, that's what we've seen from DJ LeMahieu, even at his few glimpses of possibly looking like himself. This was the first time we've seen him drive a baseball. That's important. That's important. And I'm not sure how much faith they still have in DJ. I'm not sure what gets fixed at the deadline and what DJ's role would be on this team, but we don't know. And moving forward, it's important that he did what he did. It's important Volpe had a good series. It's important Wells has, you know, another three hits in this game. Hits a home run. Looks like he's driving the baseball. The other day, he threw two runners out on the base path and picked one off. We haven't seen that from the Yankees all year. So yesterday and you know, was particularly one of those wins. And then obviously Soto, right? Soto with the two home runs. But we expect that from Soto. He's just, you know, a great player. And we can have the Soto conversation if we'd like, and his connection to the fan base and his free agency and the talk of the two hitters, which we'll get into all show, I'm sure. The only two good hitters and Severino's comments and all that, we'll get into it. But that game, you don't need to see two home runs from Juan Soto. You don't need to see a great series against Tampa Bay from Juan Soto to have faith that he'll do that against the Mets, or he'll do that against the Red Sox, or he'll do that in the next upcoming big game or big series. But you need to see Volpe give you something. Verdugo gets a hit in this game. You're still waiting for him, but and Torres didn't play in this game. You're still waiting for him. But those are the three players in particular that I've been going on and on about that I don't know how you overcome them being awful. I don't think, I heard Keith a lot in his show, I don't think trading Gleyber Torres is really something the Yankees are looking towards. I just don't. Well, maybe I'll see. We'll see. I don't know what his value is. I don't think it's something they're interested in. I don't think he'll be a Yankee next year. But I still think they look at him. And if you look at Gleyber's numbers over his last 15 games, he's hitting .280. If you look over his last seven games, he's hitting .290. No power whatsoever other than that home run I mentioned against Toronto. I mean, no real pop or power. But at least it's been better than the dismal baseball and horrendous baseball we've seen over the first half of the year. And yes, mistakes come in the field and mistakes come in the base paths. But I just don't know if they can get a third baseman, a second baseman, a starting pitcher, a reliever. Like, it's all too much to ask. And if they're going to look at Gleyber Torres, who's been hitting .280 over his last 15 games, who had an 800 OPS last year, that might be a position where they just, hey, let's see if Gleyber can do anything in the second half. And if not, we always have Cabrera, who's swinging the bat better. But Gleyber, Verdugo, and Volpe need to be better. And in this win yesterday, leading into an important stretch, you've got to follow this win up. That's the immediate thing for me watching all this. Because, again, we saw it in Toronto. We saw a game where Gleyber hits the home run and has a couple of hits. We saw, you know, the fire, the intensity finally bleeding through. They scored a ton of runs in that game. I think it was like 16 runs. Everyone got hits up and down the lineup. And we saw the same thing yesterday in a very impressive, clean, easy, comfortable 9-1 win. That means absolutely nothing if heading into this Subway Series with arguably, or almost inarguably, the two best pitchers on this staff in Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole follow this win up with dismal performances. If the offense goes back into the tank and they're shut down by lefties yet again, then this win means nothing. You have to build on these things. You have to see Volpe continue this. You need to see Wells continue this. You like to see a couple more hits from DJ if he plays in the series, what they do with, because I think you got to keep Cabrera in the lineup. He's had good at-bats. So you've got Torres and LeMahieu kind of up in the air right now. I'm expecting Cabrera to continue to be in there, whether at second or third, and give these guys multiple days off or, you know, flip-flopping back and forth, because that's how good Cabrera's been over the last handful of days. And it's just, you need good at-bats, but you need these things to continue. And the same thing for the Mets. You saw, yes, in the first inning, we talked about Pete Alonso a lot yesterday. Pete Alonso comes up in the first inning, hits into a double play, and ruins a rally, and you're like, oh my God, here we go again. And he's been brutal for them, but he comes through with two hits. JD Martinez, who's been really slumping, comes through with a couple of hits. You'd like to see him turn around. And then, of course, Jeff McNeil. Now, the question with Jeff McNeil is, I don't know how to view the home runs. It's nice to have three home runs in a series. It's nice to see happy Jeff McNeil, as Lindor was talking about. And again, like Rodon, I'm not sold on now Jeff McNeil coming out of this, or Jeff McNeil being a bat for them the rest of the way. I would be more impressed. Now he's had some hits. I think he had seven hits in the series as well. So it's three home runs. It's a couple of it's more hits. So I mean, he's been better. But I'd like to see two hits the other way. I'd like to see Jeff McNeil look like Jeff McNeil. For me, and I know this is probably unfair, Jeff McNeil hitting three home runs in a series seems fluky to me. So yes, it's important. He hits a big home run in this game that changes the game, the three-run bomb. He's had three home runs in this series. You're looking to have anybody drive the baseball. But when I look at Jeff McNeil, I'm not looking to have him drive the baseball. It seems fluky to me. I want to see good at-bats consistently. I want to see line drives all over the place. I want to see that famous McNeil bat control where he takes an outside pitch and slaps it the other way, or he pulls an inside pitch down the line. I don't need to see home runs from him. And honestly, I don't put too much stock in them. But these are the kind of at-bats, these are the kind of games that you need. Diaz, at the end of the game, comes through shaky, right? That he gets the first out of the inning, then he walks a guy on four pitches. Like, he just looks shaky, but yet still able to get out of it, still able to make good pitches to the middle of that lineup and get Berger to pop out at the end of the game. You got two hits from Bader, who's been ice cold lately. So you're starting to see some things turn around, even from a team that's playing much better than the Yankees, winning some games. But how important of a stretch is this as we talk about the deadline? For the Yankees, we know what they're doing. For the Mets, I think the idea of selling is off the table, and I think most likely everybody pretty much expects the Mets to buy, but at what level? And I'll tell you, if they are tied at the end of these, you know, by the end of this week, when it's July 30th and it's time for Stearns to make a decision, if they're a half a game out, if they're tied with two other teams for the final wild card spot, I don't know what kind of decision or kind of impetus he would put on prospects, or, you know, how much he'd really be willing to go and improve this team as opposed to just finding pieces off the scrap heap who are just better than the Mets currently have. But if they're two games back of Atlanta, if they go on a hot stretch here, beat the Yankees for two, and continue to play, you know, and win six of these next seven or eight games, and suddenly now they're in a position where they're two games back of Atlanta for the top wild card, does that influence any decisions? A team that's been super vocal about adding, a team that's been super vocal about how good they think they are. This is an important two games. This is at Yankee Stadium. It's not as bad. The Yankees are playing, you know, slightly better than they played the last time they faced the Mets. It's at home. The lineup has kind of come alive a little bit. Soto and Judge are both going well at the same time. Plus, you've seen Volpe have his best series in the last 2 months easy. They're facing the Yankees' two best starting pitchers, and that was the calling card of this hot offense for about a month, demolishing starting pitching. And that's kind of cooled off a little bit. Can they bounce back and take care of the two best Yankee starters, the two best filthiest stuff, the guys who throw 99 miles an hour and strike people out? How does this Met offense show up for these two games? So these two games for both of these teams at this particular moment with the trade deadline looming, for the Mets, is there a level of baseball they can play that would reemphasize exactly what level they should be out there adding? And for the Yankees, can they rebound and actually build some momentum off a game where it seemed like all the boxes were checked? That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, sure, they checked all the boxes. Great, for a day. 2 days ago, it was disgusting. A day before that, it was just as bad. So, yes, it was an impressive win. Yes, Volpe had a couple of hits, including a home run. Yes, you saw life from DJ LeMahieu. Yes, Carlos Rodon gave you his best start in forever and possibly his best start of the season. And maybe in a Yankee uniform. That's how impressed I was with Carlos Rodon yesterday. But all of it is meaningless if they can't continue, if they continue to do what they've done for the last 6 weeks and squander opportunity after opportunity and be unable to put together win after win. They have to build something. And much like the last time they met, I talked about how the Mets had an opportunity to really send the Yankees into a tailspin. And that's exactly what they did. Now I look at this, both of these teams in critical spots. But again, for me, as a Yankee fan, I'll be honest with you, as a Yankee fan, my view of it is the Mets have an opportunity here to beat the Yankees' two best pitchers who've been trending in the right direction, both of them, Luis Gil and obviously Gerrit Cole off his last two starts. A team that just managed to, you know, split a series against Tampa, have arguably their most complete two wins of the year in both of those games. Clean, crisp games, pitched well, offense came alive. Offense up and down this pitiful lineup as they head into play the Mets, who are publicly mocking them for only having two good hitters. If the Mets come into Yankee Stadium and take both of these games and sweep the season series and eliminate any goodwill that was built yesterday from Rodon and up and down this lineup, I don't know where the Yankees go from here until they get to the deadline. And even then, how much can they actually replace? How much can they actually overcome? How many different guys can they hide, get rid of, jettison? How many different opportunities will they have at a deadline that, honestly, I don't think anybody I've heard from has a good read on? And it's going to be impossible to try and figure out who's in for what, how many teams are selling, how many teams are buying, how many teams are urgent, how many teams are willing to trade away their best prospects. Because, honestly, if you look at the Dodgers out there willing to, you know, trade for all kinds of things, they have more options than probably both the Mets or Yankees, at least more than the Mets are willing to give. You look at Baltimore, who desperately needs a starting pitcher and could give you a plethora of viable, top-notch, top-quality prospects in the farm system that are way more close to Major League ready than anything the Yankees have. This is going to be an extremely important trade deadline that, honestly, I don't know where they stand on either of these teams. So right now, the players that are here are imperative. And the idea that both of these teams check boxes on important wins to avoid disastrous losses and avoid disastrous series losses, they head into these two games meeting heads up at Yankee Stadium trying to impact the other one, where either team could come away smelling like roses or could be stumbling into what needs to be a game-changing trade deadline.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's a play by play. He is out. Oh, he is out. What a play by Derek Jeter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:27, McMonagle here with you. You know, it's funny because I was sleeping today. The games at 1 o'clock are tough for me to watch live. Really, most games are on the weekend especially, but with the kids or whatever. So I woke up, picked my, you know, had to get my son from camp or whatever, and then I started the game, I don't know, 3:30, 3:45, I started watching the Yankee game. And you know what a telltale sign is, especially for me, the Yankee shill? A telltale sign of whether or not the game went well is how many mentions I have on Twitter. If I go to Twitter and I have the little 20-plus sign next to mentions, I know it was not a good day for the Yankees. If I go on Twitter and I have one or two, hey, it was a positive day because nobody wants, nobody cares. When they lose, oh, they got to call, they got to let me know the Yankees have lost. Nobody has anything to say when the Yankees win. It's very funny. I go right to Twitter. I see one or two. I'm like, hey, I got to be careful. I can't open Twitter because I don't even need to see a tweet. I just need to see how many notifications I have. If I have like hardly any notifications, that couldn't have been too bad. All the people who hate the Yankee shill have left me alone. Something positive must have happened. So it was a good game for the Yankees, but again, it only matters what they do following it up. They pick up a half a game on the idle Baltimore Orioles. They pick up a full game on the Boston Red Sox, who lost in extra innings to the Rockies. I was locked in on that. Freaking couldn't get a bunt down in the 10th. I was like, what are you guys doing? Or the 11th. Couldn't get a bunt down. Yelling at the Rockies. Unbelievable. We got to get into the home run trots. Apparently that's a big deal. We'll get into Siri and all that. We'll get into whether or not a Rosarena was hit on purpose. We'll get into the Mets series. Yankees, Mets, Subway series starts tonight. We'll get into the matchup a little bit, but let's take your phone calls at 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. EJ in East Meadow. What's up, EJ?
C-Mac.
What's up, brother? C-Mac,
the reason why that happens to you, man, is because you are, and I love you, say, because you actually have some rationality, but you are so irrational sometimes when it comes to the Yankees, and at least you admit it, though.
Yeah, I don't think I do. I call myself the show because other people do. I honestly do not think I'm irrational at all, so no.
No. I'm saying that you are rational. Saying when it comes to the Yankees, like, you literally just explained to most of the listening public that somehow Gleyber Torres, because he's hitting 270 and now 280 over 12 and 15 games, which literally yesterday, just because this is how the numbers change, he's hitting 260, right? And everybody's blowing up on him.
He didn't play yesterday, but I get you, yeah.
I don't understand why you guys, I get the whole thing because the ratings and all that good stuff, but we have to tell people who don't watch baseball on a regular basis, it's a lot. Like, these things happen. They're going to lose. The Red Sox are going to lose to the Rockies. The Yankees might lose 2 out of 2. And I agree, it's an important game. But Jeff McNeil hitting 3 home runs out of nowhere and maybe finally finding his stroke for a long particular time is a lot different than Gleyber Torres for the last 3 years. And it's a lot different than
who
finally hitting a home run.
Why is it different?
What I'm saying?
No, I don't. What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
I mean, what do you mean?
I mean, I'm talking about it's completely different.
What's different? In which way is it different?
Let's put it this way: Gleyber Torres hasn't ever won a batting title or anything like that. So when people were trying to find out what was wrong with Jeff McNeil, and he's finally found, I don't know, I guess a stroke because it's been a week.
Are you saying Jeff McNeil's the far better player between Gleyber and
no?
Okay,
not at all. But that's I'm just saying the idea that all of a sudden now Gleyber's figured it out because he's hitting 270.
You see now? Did I say that?
You said.
Did
you,
I say
you
that?
The one,
did I say
you,
that?
No, you said in a very positive light that Gleyber Torres is hitting 270 over his last X amount and 280 over his last X amount, and then the next, literally like 3 sentences later, you're talking about, well, yeah, Jeff McNeil seems a little fluky, but
Jeff McNeil has a track record.
Hold on, Jeff McNeil has a track record that Gleyber doesn't have. So
I completely disagree. I completely disagree. Last year, Gleyber,
what do you mean?
Last year, Gleyber Torres
won a batting title.
Yeah, that's true. You won a batting title. Last year, Gleyber Torres' offensive season is probably as good or better than anything Jeff McNeil's ever done. He had 25 home runs. He drove in 80 runs. Jeff McNeil's Punch and Judy hitter who won a batting title. He wasn't hitting it. I mean, maybe with Judge out for a while. I'm telling you, last year, Gleyber Torres' offensive season last year is as good or better than anything Jeff McNeil has done.
Yesterday, I listened to every single show that you have.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, you're trying to tell me literally yesterday, like yesterday morning, Sunday going into Monday.
Correct.
Gleyber's got to go. DJ's got it. DJ's, you know,
never, never said,
down, on and so forth.
I never said Glaber's got to go. And first off, when I say positive light, you make it sound like I said, hey, Glaber's turning it around. He's 280 for his last 15 games. What I said was,
well, what else light is there if you're saying he hit 270
because,
in his last 12?
Because
and he hit 280 in his last 15.
Because
that's
the
positive.
Because
that's
the
negative.
Because the context of the conversation was Cashman can't solve every problem. So if he's looking at his problems to solve, he might say, hey, look, I can't.
Right.
I got to replace third base. I got to get a starting pitcher. I got to get a bullpen guy. Now I got to get a second baseman, too. Now I got a second base. I got to get a second baseman, too. You know what? My second baseman, who had an 800 OPS last year, has got, over the last 15 games, has hit 280. Maybe I have to pick that one as the one to leave alone. I've been saying trade Gleyber Torres in the offseason. I said Gleyber Torres is not going to be a player for the New York Yankees also, next year.
You could also have Jeff. Yes, you definitely did say that. You could also have Jeff McNeil. You definitely also could have Jeff McNeil playing second, third base, left field, right field also with whatever.
He had a great series defensively as well.
I know he had a great series, but that's what you're literally saying about Gleyber Torres, that he had a great series.
I am not. I'm saying
for 14
that
games for
no,
three,
that's not what
series.
I'm. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm saying is Brian Cashman can only serve so many devils. He's got to pick which one he's got to live with. And I'm
Would
saying when I look Gleyber at
Torres
when I look at it,
Jeff
he's
McNeil right now.
Gleyber Torres
on your team.
Gleyber Torres.
On your team, you'd rather have Gleyber Torres. You mentioned the left-handed third base, or you didn't mention this. Left-handed third baseman.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres had a season last year.
And some guy who can play.
I don't need him to play the outfield. The Yankees don't need him.
Say that you did. I'm saying he could do the same particular things and. Right now, based off of the 270 average versus the 270, 280 average, you'd rather have Gleyber Torres?
Yeah, you mentioned track record.
You would rather have Gleyber Torres
than
Jeff McNeil on your team?
Yes, of course. You mentioned track record. You've said it a bunch of different times. Last year, Jeff McNeil hit 270. He had an OPS of 7.11.
Sounds like the last 12 for Gleyber.
Gleyber Torres hit 25 home runs. 25 home runs.
What was his OPS, average? He also hit 230.
Had an OPS of 100 points better, 89 points better.
The Yankees don't need a guy who can hit 25
home runs. They
need a guy who's going to get on base
OPS.
Regularly hit.
And OPS is on base percentage plus slugging. I can't have this argument with you. Gleyber Torres, in the last year, Gleyber Torres has been a far, far better player than Jeff McNeil. Far. It's not close. And both have been terrible this year. Terrible. And when I say Gleyber Torres has hit over his last 15 games, I never put it in the context of Gleyber's fine. Never. I never said, I can't wait to see Gleyber over the next 10 because the last 15, he's been hitting 280. His OPS is still under 700 over those last 15 games. It's come with no pop and mistakes defensively. What I'm saying is Brian Cashman's going to have to pick and choose where he fixes the problems of this team. He can't fix them all. So what I'm saying is when he looks at it and he says, Jesus, I don't know what I have as a starter right now. I got Nestor Cortez, who's terrible on the road and was just terrible at home. I got a pitcher in Rodon who I don't know if I can trust. A young kid in Heel who's pitched well or his last two starts, terrible before that. And I don't know how many innings he's got in him. So he's like, I got a starting pitcher I got to find. I got back into the bullpen I got to find. I need a third baseman I got to find. I got an aging and broken-armed Rizzo who hasn't been good for a year and a young kid in Ben Rice who I have no idea what he's going to do. I have a million problems to fix. So if I'm looking at it clearly, I can go, hey, Gleyber Torres last year had an 800 OPS. He's been better his last 15 games. If I have to leave off a spot to fix, I'm probably going to leave off second base and just trust Gleyber comes back. That's all I said. I never said Gleyber's doing great. I never said Gleyber's no longer a problem. I'm saying in the pecking order of problems, you can make the case that Brian Cashman looks at Gleyber Torres and says, he's the least of my five big problems, and I can only fix four of them. You know what I'm saying? Never once did I say Gleyber Torres is doing great. I love him. I run him out there every day. I don't know why the hell he was off yesterday. I just said you got to play Cabrera in the exact same the same talking point I was making. I said you can't sit Cabrera. Cabrera's got to play every day, and you mix mash DJ and Torres, and which one plays with him? I used the last 15 games as an example of how Brian Cashman might look at it when it's going to come to the point of I can only fix so many problems. DJ LeMahieu is a far greater problem than Gleyber Torres. No. The starting pitching might be a bigger problem than Gleyber Torres, no? That's all I'm saying. Now, maybe he goes the other way. I'd be fine with it. Fix Gleyber and DJ LeMahieu, but then you don't get a starter. Like, they can't do everything is my point. And I just don't see two infielders. They need one. And that's going to take over for DJ LeMahieu would be my thought. You're going to get two infielders as well as a starting pitcher, as well as a bullpen arm? It just seems like a lot. So in the pecking order of the problems, I could make the case that you would have the most faith that Gleyber Torres could come out of this and have a decent second half here, a decent final 60 games. It's very hard, despite the home run, to make the case for DJ LeMahieu. It's getting increasingly hard to make the case for Nestor Cortez. And all I'm saying is recent history says of all the problems in which Gleyber Torres is certainly one, he seems like he could be the least of the problems. If it comes down to which ones do I fix? That's what I'm talking about. I never came on this radio and said Gleyber Torres isn't an issue. He's been hitting 270 the last 15 games. That's what you hear. I don't know what to tell you. And all I said about Jeff McNeil is I love seeing him drive the baseball whenever. Yeah, sure. I don't view him as a home run hitter. So, yeah, he's got three home runs in the series. He had a great series. He made a catch up against the wall in the first game of the series. I believe it was the first game. He played great defensively. He's versatile defensively. He can play infield. He can play outfield. Yankees don't really need another outfielder, necessarily. Hopefully, if Dominguez comes back. But over the last year, there's no question who's been the better offensive player. There's no question. And when I look at him, all I said was, yes, I like the three-run home runs. It seems a little fluky. I'd rather have him have good at bat after good at bat and peppering the baseball all over the place, because that's when Jeff McNeil is at his best. But I'm not poo-pooing the three home runs. Great, he had a great series, and that home run is arguably the biggest hit of the game. But you talk about a track record. 2019, he was great. Look back at 2019 for Gleyber Torres. Let's compare the years. He won a batting title at 326. He's a better average hitter. That's it. He doesn't have the home runs. He doesn't have, for the most part, the OPS. 2022, he was far better. 2020, he was better. Looking at the numbers real quick. But over the last recent circumstance, they've both been zeros this year. Gleyber Torres was the Yankees' best hitter last year. What was Jeff McNeil? Nick in Franklin Square. What's up, Nick?
Big Monaco, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
All right. I'm gonna put my input in on this Jeff McNeil and Gleyber Torres situation.
Okay.
Okay. So what you're saying is that you would rather have, would rather take Gleyber Torres over Jeff McNeil. Is that what you're saying?
For the Yankees, yes. In a different circumstance, with different needs, and a different ball club, I don't know. For the Mets, I'd rather have Jeff McNeil with the ability to play right field.
On the Yankees, right now.
Correct.
If you were able to pick, okay, I'd rather take Gleyber Torres or Jeff McNeil.
Correct.
Who would you take?
Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres?
Correct.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry.
That's
Do you watch the Mets?
Torres? Why? Because Gleyber Torres had a good year last year?
What the hell has Jeff McNeil done? You make it sound like I'm turning down an all-star. Jeff McNeil sucks.
Okay. Just because Jeff McNeil doesn't hit 25 home runs?
Jeff McNeil's hitting 220.
Hold on.
Jeff McNeil's hitting 220.
Can I explain my point?
Go ahead.
Gleyber Torres, why? Because he hits 25 home runs within the last couple of years. Their RBIs are off maybe by 10,
10 the most. Jeff McNeil is not a middle of the lineup hitter. He's at the bottom of the order. He's not in Clayton Torres' position to bring in RBIs. Just because he doesn't hit 25 home runs, that's why you take Clayton Torres?
Gleyber Torres last year had an 800 on base percentage. He had 25 home runs and drove in only 68 runs.
So
who's got a all right? So Jeff McNeil won a batting title. Who's got a better batting average right now? Jeff McNeil or Gleyber Torres?
McNeil's having a down year. And
Jeff
so
McNeil has sucked for a year and a half. Gleyber Torres was good last year.
Okay, he was
what are we talking
year,
about?
You're saying one year, Gleyber Torres.
That's the most recent option we have. I have. It's not a small sample size. It's 260 games.
That is crazy to me.
Then you're crazy. I don't know what to tell you.
Over
Jeff McNeil, you make
crazy.
It sound like I said I'd rather have him over Lindor. It's Jeff McNeil, bro. Do you watch the Mets? He's awful. Every Met fan I know wants him off the team.
That's the thing. What I just said to you was, within the last couple of years, Jeff McNeil, look, Gleyber Torres has maybe 10 more RBIs within the last couple of years. You're just saying, oh, because he hits 25 home runs.
Yeah, and he had an OPS about 100 points higher.
Listen, that's
oh,
crazy.
Oh, no, no.
That's
what should
crazy.
We go for? What should we go with? What should we go with? What stat do you want to go with? What stat matters? What stat matters? The batting average? Because Gleyber's hit higher this year. He hit higher last year. What other batting stat do you want?
Let me say this. And Gleyber Torres is he's a great fielder, too, right?
He makes boneheaded plays every once in a while. But
boneheaded
he's,
plays? Yeah. Come on.
He's got just as much range as Jeff McNeil.
The worst fielder on the Yankees. The worst fielder.
No, I disagree with that. He's not the worst fielder on the Yankees. Right now, Ben Rice comes out of games for defensive replacement at first base. He's not the worst fielder on the Yankees. Gleyber plays defense. He makes boneheaded plays and errors at the wrong time, no doubt. I don't know how 45 minutes into the show it's become me defending Gleyber Torres. I don't like Gleyber Torres necessarily as a player. I've called him a non-winning player 100 times, and I don't want him to be here next year at all. No interest whatsoever, no matter how much money Gleyber Torres is willing to come back for. I don't want him. Don't want Gleyber Torres. But you got me in a discussion with Jeff McNeil. Like, Jeff McNeil's like some sort of great player. He's been terrible. Jeff McNeil's been terrible. I know you Yankee fans hate Gleyber Torres. Be fair about it. Gleyber Torres was a far better player last year. Far better. Like and he's younger. He's about 5 years younger. If they hit the free agent market next, when they hit the, if they would have both hit the free agent market next year, who would get paid better? He got paid off a batting title. Congratulations. I'm not trying to tell you Glaber's great. Jeff McNeil's been awful. What are we talking about? And I'm not even, I said for the Mets, I'd probably rather have Jeff McNeil with his ability to play right field, especially right now. They could use that. The Yankees don't have any need for that. Not with Jeff McNeil's numbers. And you tell me he's a batting title winner. The Gleyber Torres, for as awful as his season's been, he's currently hitting hot better than Jeff McNeil is right now. He has one more home run than McNeil, and McNeil just hit three this week. Oh, now maybe they're tied because usually baseball reference is like a day behind. They probably don't have this game in. So now they have the same number of home runs. Jeff McNeil is hitting Gleyber currently. I'd have to do the numbers on what Jeff McNeil did today. But going into the day, Gleyber Torres had one more home run. Gleyber Torres had eight more RBIs. And he's hitting 9 points higher. And his OPS is about 35 points higher. So in every way, shape, and form, Gleyber Torres has been a better offensive player. And I understand the stupidness of this argument. I mean, we're talking about two of the worst offensive players on either team. That's what we're talking about. But Gleyber Torres has better numbers in every category. And if you look at it, last year, it's also not that close. The batting champion, Gleyber Torres, had a better batting average. He hit 15 more home runs. He drove in 13 more RBIs, and he had an OPS 89 points higher. In the last 260 games, it's not close who's been better. In the last 260, Gleyber Torres has been the better player, and that's not saying much. And who do I think, you know, at 27 years old, I take my chances Gleyber Torres has a better second half than Jeff McNeil. Maybe I'd be wrong. I'm open to that. He's gotten hot. He hit three home runs in the series. But the idea that I'm crazy that I'd rather have Gleyber Torres than Jeff McNeil I know Yankee fans are going to call up and call me crazy. Do you watch the Met games? Marty in Hoboken. What's up, Marty? I'm going to give you a break that you accidentally threw the F word in without meaning to, but Marty, we got to clean it up, all right, bud?
All right. So you trade Gleyber Torres for Jeff McNeil straight up? Are you kidding me? I would never do that in the last day of my life. Even though he's like, you know, kicking balls around and stuff. Jeff, there's no way. Come on.
I understand that. Jeff McNeil is, I guess, less prone to the big mistake, no doubt about it. He'll hustle more. I'll give him that, right? He's more versatile defensively. He's making great plays up against the wall, playing outfield. And that's why I said I'm open to the idea of a different circumstance, feeling a different way. For the Yankees currently, I just straight up need the best hitter. That's all I'm thinking. I need the best hitter. That's it. Honestly, I think defensively they're a wash other than Gleyber has the big moment. So I'll give Jeff McNeil the defensive category at second base. That's what I'm looking at. Second baseman who can hit. That's what I need for the Yankees on this current team. And I think Gleyber Torres fits that bill slightly better. This isn't even me saying it's a slam dunk. What are you, an idiot? I'm being called the idiot. I'm just trying to defend myself. If I had to take a choice, I would take Gleyber Torres. Having said that, if they trade him for anything that seems anything worthwhile, I'll be thrilled. And if he's on the team next year, I'm going to be pissed off. And in the offseason this year, I was screaming off of an 800 OPS season, trade him, trade him, trade him, trade him. So I don't want to make it seem like here I am banging the drum for Gleyber Torres. But if you're asking me, would I rather take this struggling 27-year-old second baseman who's been terrible for the Yankees this year, or would I rather take the 32-year-old struggling second baseman who lost his job to a journeyman this year, who every single Met fan wants off the team, who's a batting title champion, who's hitting 220? I mean, which one would I rather have? Oh, I don't know. I'd rather have Gleyber Torres. Call me crazy. Like, what are we talking about? You guys are nuts. Kyle in Long Island. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are
not
you?
Not to drag on the
no,
Gleyber
listen,
Torres argument.
We're here for five hours. Drag away.
But one of the other callers, and I respect the defensive Jeff McNeil, I get it. Sure. And I can appreciate a contact hitter and everything. But the argument that Gleyber Torres had better RBI opportunities than Jeff McNeil, and trying to dismiss the RBI.
You
got to remember, last year
he's playing with Bowers. He's playing with
one of the worst Cordero. On base percentage teams in the league, and he for a third of the year he was leading off. You want to talk about RBI chances?
100%. You're 100% right. Gleyber was not a middle of the lineup hitter. Gleyber was hitting leadoff last year for a team that featured Franchi Cordero, Jake Bowers, Billy McKinney. No Stanton was injured for most of the year. No Judge, who was injured a lot of the year. Like, and Jeff McNeil had who? Pete Alonso, a Lindor. Like, it's just not even close.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm willing to say career-wise, it's a fair debate. Jeff McNeil, no doubt. Like, the years they both had was 2019, right? 2018 and 19. Let's go to their best years. And they start at the same time, too. So, like, in 2018, Jeff McNeil came up. He played in only 63 games. I don't know if I want to judge it. Gleyber played 123. So let's just start with 2019. 2019, Jeff McNeil hit 318. Gleyber Torres hit 278. Jeff McNeil had an OPS of 916, which is great. Gleyber Torres had an OPS of 871. Jeff McNeil hit 23 home runs. Gleyber Torres hit 38 home runs and drove in 90 runs. So 2375, Gleyber was 3890. So in the power department, Gleyber Torres was better. In almost everything else, batting average, OPS, on base percentage, Jeff McNeil. I mean, that's comparable. Right. It's comparable, but let's just say Jeff McNeil was better. 2020, Jeff McNeil was much better. Gleyber was terrible. In 21, I would even say Jeff McNeil was better. 21, batting average. Oh, no, McNeil had a bad 21, too. 251, Gleyber actually hit better, and he was terrible in 21. Gleyber. Yeah, I know. Listen, on full season and full career track records, I think it's a fair argument to say Jeff McNeil has had a better career than Gleyber Torres. I'm not 100% in that camp necessarily. I've always thought of Gleyber as probably the better all-around player in my mind, but I mean, I'm open to the idea. I'm open to the idea, but when you ask me right now, there's been over the last 260 games, it's not close. And that's not a small track record. That's the last year and two-thirds. The last year and two-thirds, Gleyber Torres has been the better player, as terrible as they've both been this year.
Yeah, you can compare the numbers, that's one thing. But also, just put it in perspective. Maybe I'm biased being a Yankees fan, but Gleyber's the kind of player, irrespective of the numbers, that can carry a lineup when the big hitters are down. He's a difference maker when he's hot. Look at the games against the Orioles a couple of years ago when he was...
Oh, yeah, no, that was 2019. Yeah, 2019, yeah. He practically retired Gary Thorne. He couldn't take it anymore. It's an interesting debate career-wise, and I think because of the age and because of the last year and a half, I think I'd rather have Gleyber Torres. That's it. And believe me, it's not by a mile. I'm not trying to say it's like they both have been terrible this year. And Gleyber makes the boneheaded decision, doesn't hustle. I don't know if he's a winning player. I mean, is Jeff McNeil a winning player? Have they won? The Yankees have won far more with Gleyber Torres than Jeff McNeil and the Mets. Gleyber Torres was arguably their best postseason hitter in 2019. Won game one of the ALCS against the Astros. He was going to be the next. Like, I remember Ron Darling doing the MLB 100 Greatest Players show they do at the start of every year, and he put him in the same breath of, like, Acuna. Gleyber Torres is going to be the next great young, you know, he was like 24 years old. Gleyber Torres is going to be the next great young player in Major League Baseball. That's where he was after 2019. And he completely faded, no doubt. But yes, I would take my chances with Gleyber Torres from the New York Yankees than I would Jeff McNeil. And we act like that's crazy. Jeff McNeil has been terrible. Terrible. They both have been terrible. 888, I had no idea I was going to get into screaming matches about Jeff McNeil and Gleyber Torres. You guys are funny. I love it. I know Yankee fans watch him every day. They watch the errors. They watch the not hustle out of the base path. I get it. Down the first baseline, I get it. Jeff McNeil also mopes, gets angry, throws things, fighting his teammates in the hallway between the clubhouse and the dugout, saying it's a squirrel, saying it's a raccoon. Lindor says he's going to buy him a car, doesn't. He gets nicknamed today Happy Jeff. You know why he's called Happy Jeff? Because otherwise he's Miserable Jeff. Let's not act like one's a great winning player who does everything right, who's just been going through a slump. This guy moans and complains and mopes, and I'm not sure how his teammates feel about him. He gets into fights with his teammates. But, you know, I got to have him over Gleyber Torres or I'm nuts. All right. Call me crazy. Want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.